Good evening. We will not be reading from the book again tonight. And so before we begin, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. There's an old proverb which says, may you live in interesting times. Well, to say the least, you are in interesting times. But I want to shift the focus a little bit from what you think the interesting times are and what I think the interesting times are. You think the interesting times are the events going on in the world. Dynamic. Revolutionary. Transformational. With both positive and negative aspects. But there's a more important, interesting item, and that is that whether everyone knows it or not, everyone is standing at the threshold of making a shift of perception of the sort that we've been studying in A Course in Miracles for quite some time. The interesting times you are in are the point in your apparent development where you abandon your independence, your sovereignty, your arrogance, your superiority, and any position you think you have achieved. And you abandon it in favor of allowing yourself to experience a position which accompanied you in your birthright. You have a position. You are the son or daughter of God. Significant position. And in that position, you have things to do. Things that are different from the things you've done as a self-authorized, independent organism who has no divine father and who has no divine birthright, but who arose out of matter and develops in matter and dies as matter and perhaps does some incredible things in the process. We talked last week about the fact that in your independent state, you exist in a realm of polarities. It's unavoidable. It's inescapable. But in your divine birthright, there are no polarities. There is infinite unity. Infinite meaning infinitely varied. Infinite meaning the experience of being that is full of infinite variety of experience and things, and yet in that infiniteness there are no polarities, there is only communion, not come chaos but communion. Everything fits together, everything works together. Everything communicates its meaning and its intent and purpose with everything else simultaneously as an infinite conscious experience. Free of fear, full of love. Now, it's imperative that everyone recognize the fact that in the realm of your birthright, where you're the son or daughter of God, where there is unity, everything moves and has its being in the context of and the substance of love. There are no polarities in love. And it's important to understand that love does not exist for the purpose of resolving polarities. You sometimes forget that and think that you are studying the Course and learning how to remove the blocks to love so that love can be used to resolve polarities in the dream, in the orphanage, in the realm of independent self-government. And that's not correct. It's important to know that. Else you will try to apply love to the, quote, human condition, to improve it. When love moves you out of the imagined condition called the human condition and reminds you and reveals to you once again your divinity, in that realm, in that place where God's laws prevail, and lifts you out of the place where there is conflict to be resolved, it lifts you out of the perception, the misperception of everything, where conflicts need to be resolved, and uncovers a new perception of everything you've already been looking at in this level or realm of unity, where there is no polarity, where there is nothing to resolve, and where pure harmony is the rule. and the experience forever. And so what you call the human condition, what you call the material world and universe, becomes to you transformed by the means of the scales falling from your eyes, the ignorance falling away from your vision, so that you might see the kingdom of heaven that it has been all along. Now, everyone on your globe at this time is being called by one of two teachers. And at the moment, the teacher that's calling to everyone is the voice for fear. It's the voice that prevails in the human condition, in that place where you claim an independent, autonomous position of power. And you know what its function is? Its function is to get you off your ass and resolve some polarities, and to get you on the positive side, in the positive polarity, you see. Get in there and do something so that the negative aspect of the polarity becomes perhaps a little invisible, so that you're not really threatened by it. Fear always calls for self-preservation. If you're experiencing fear, it's because you are feeling threatened, and you are feeling the need to preserve yourself. Now, mind you, the voice for fear, not being the voice for truth, is never going to bring your attention to the Father, is never going to bring your attention to the holy instant in which God's laws prevail, and in which there are no polarities, and in which, because there are no polarities, all apparent polarities cease to assert themselves and vanish, and healing occurs. Everyone globally is beginning to feel overwhelmed. Some of you don't realize that is what is happening. You know that events are occurring that are dynamic, and of course the media is picking up on these dynamics and are sharing them with gusto and relish to everyone, because it keeps the attention on their newspaper or their TV station and generates income for them, and supposedly helps you in the process to know the truth, except that so very often they are promoting their own agendas that have nothing to do with your well-being, and they occupy your time, as I said last week, with speculation that doesn't lead anywhere, that does perhaps stimulate your thinking, but which, because of the vitality of the energy, causes you to become excited in the sense of uneasy, in the sense of revved up, without peace. You see all of this, and it, because it seems exciting, causes you to accept it without realizing that you are becoming uneasy, and that it's not just excitement, that actually it's fear. And you need to pay attention to this so that you don't just swallow it. You don't just embrace the fear as though it's part of the, this is the key word, dynamic of life, which is invigorating and lets you know that you're alive, you see. And as a result, you don't challenge it. You don't really realize, hey, I'm not comfortable. As exciting and interesting as this is, I'm not comfortable. And if perhaps You do realize that you're not comfortable. You may not realize that you have a choice to abandon that experience. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm talking tonight. Because you need to realize that you have the option to abandon it. And you need to realize that the process of abandoning it is a very fundamental act that doesn't just, quote, improve the human condition, unquote, but actually moves you out of the human condition, out of the ignorance that you suffer from, into a remembrance of your birthright in which there are no polarities and in which the unity of being that it is your divine birthright to be experiencing, you experience release from the conflict that seemed so stimulating and so newsworthy. And in your being released from it, those still believing it, those still caught in it, become blessed by a capacity to see the truth more easily. Your withdrawal from the valuing of ignorance and illusion causes it to be easier for those still caught in it to abandon it. It causes the illusion to be less dense, less compelling. And this is your job. And this is where your attention needs to be. You know, for centuries there have been conflicts and resolutions, but we truly are coming upon a point where there's not just going to be the resolution of conflict, but there's going to be the shifting from the realm of conflict into the conscious awareness of being that you, as the son or daughter of God, deserve to be experiencing because it's your birthright and there's really nothing else real for you to be experiencing. Now, you all can be good Christians, or you can be good religious people, or you can be good students of the Course, and find a way to make the best of a bad situation, the best of the conflict that's going on, so that you might come through somewhat unscathed and still be where everyone was after the Crusades. Still asleep, still dreaming dreams, still experiencing the human condition. Or you can, because of your education relative to the truth and A Course in Miracles, use this opportunity to make the shift. What shift? Not from a disastrous world condition to an excellent world condition, but a shift from your allegiance to the voice for fear to an allegiance to the voice for truth. A shift which wakes you up, which ends the illusions, which ends the conflict forever. Come on. Either everyone is expecting Armageddon or everyone is expecting the rapture, the upliftment of mankind. Well, let's stop having those polarized dynamics as interesting ideas to talk about, think about, and let's, right now, begin to act out the choice of choosing for the voice for truth. Opting for that, the nature of which is love. So that you might be the agent for change here that heals an injured world, I'm going to say. Not just of injuries current, but injuries past. And that reveals each one of you and everything without blemish, without flaw, with complete restoration of every part of you and every part of everything. You know what? Fear is an artificial sensation. You know, we say, oh, when the fall occurred, or when you got your divorce from the father, two things came into play, fear and guilt. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Fear is an artificial sensation, and guilt is an artificial sensation. So let's not be treating fear and guilt with such respect as though they are something. They're artificial sensations. They do not mean anything in the context of God and God's allness. They have no meaning whatsoever. And because God is all, they never have had any actual meaning. Therefore, they are not anything actual to overcome or deal with. You can't do anything to that which is an artificial sensation. But you can shift your attention to love. You can shift your attention away from privacy and self-authority to your father and rejoin with your father. And in that rejoining, remember who you are. And in that experience, find that love is the spontaneous feeling you experience relative to everything. And it's when you discover that everything is blessing you with the love that it is, so that it's an exchange, infinitely speaking, in which there's no conflict, in which there is no chaos, in which there's no radioactive damage caused recently or in the past, where there is no physical injury or disease, either currently or left over from the past, where the kingdom of heaven is redeemed from your insistence upon it being something else, a physical world and universe which began from a big bang, a physical explosion, a physical movement of force. Inherently polarized from the get-go. A Course in Miracles means something. It's true. It doesn't really mean working miracles. Because a miracle in that sort of definition would have to mean that some sort of force, spiritual or otherwise, would have to be applied to the material world and universe you think exists and changes it by force, so that it stops being destructive and starts being benign. Now, that would be a miracle. But no, A Course in Miracles is about shifting your attention from the voice for fear and giving your attention to the voice for truth, which is the Holy Spirit, which is that which is nothing more than your right mind. And in that shift, becoming unpolarized and unconflicted yourself. And in the falling away of the tension of this conflict that you have manufactured for yourself, what you really are, what all of creation really is, in its benign, unified aspect, registers with you, and it looks like a miracle has happened, because infirmity, illness, death are undone. Damage is undone. The true nature of everything simply registers with you once again. Awesomely registers with you once again. That seems miraculous, but I promise you that the uncovering of the divinity of everything, the uncovering of the divineness of everything that has characterized everything forever, that occurring is not a miracle. Because force is not applied to make something that was not something into something else that is something. You are not going to be able to use love to bless the island of Japan. You are not going to be able to use love to bless the area around Chernobyl. You are not going to be able to use love to bless a cemetery so that all those who have died come forth. You cannot use love to undo an illusion. Love serves to open your eyes to what God has been being all along, in spite of your false definitions applied to everything and the conflict it has created for you. I know I am repeating myself over and over and over again, but I am repeating a simple truth that it's almost impossible for you to believe, because it is so simple, and because it flies in the face of your experience. Now, the conditions in the world are distressing. Even the ones that seem to be positively oriented seem to be occurring in the context of conflict. And so even that which has excellence is strenuous. The strenuousness of it, the apparent processes in time that it appears everything will have to go through, whether it's the changing of a mind of a people or whether it's the changing of the radioactivity that should take tens of thousands of years to dissipate, The fact is that time needs to be wiped out of the process, out of the picture, so that instantaneous healing can be experienced. Oh, see, instantaneous healing. Well, it's going to be hard because, of course, radioactive materials are matter, aren't they? And so they are going to have to operate according to the laws of matter, aren't they? No. 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 Why? Because the only change that needs to occur is you abandoning your commitment and addiction to definitions that are inconsistent with creation itself, and which, when you abandon them, will allow creation as it truly is to be experienced by you as it truly is, just like that, because of a willingness that wasn't argued against, because a commitment was abandoned, and there was a willingness to embrace what seemed to be, quote, the impossible, unquote. Now, there is a need for this today. There is a need for this today. And every single one of you have the groundwork, have the basics to participate in it happening. And so I am pushing you, yes, and I am inviting you, yes. I am pushing and pulling. I'm doing everything I can to inspire you to be radical and to consider the impossible. So that there might be ascension, so that there might be awakening. It's time. It's time for all of these artificial experiences, all of these artificial sensations, and all of these artificial perceptions to simply give way to clarity. What you might call a change of mind. Not that you have decided, I'm going to change from this to this, but where, in your defenselessness, you suddenly find yourself seeing differently. You suddenly find your perspective changed. You suddenly find fear absent. You suddenly find love present. You suddenly find safety to be an absolute. Now, this is going to take some discipline. Again, I've used a lot of words. I've expressed different ideas. But at the bottom line, we're talking about one thing. A shift from the voice for fear to the voice for truth. That takes some discipline. When you want to gather information, which teacher are you going to go to? If you go to the voice for fear, you're going to find it promoting conflict within you, exhaustion within you. You're going to find yourself turning the negativity on yourself to find out what is wrong with you that you're having such a negative experience. I know. Maybe you're just getting old. Maybe you're developing Alzheimer's. Maybe dementia is encroaching upon you. Poor thing. Oh, yeah. When you're indulging in that frame of reference, when you're listening to the voice for fear, anything that causes you to ultimately suffer and die will be justifiable. And you're not likely to challenge it. You're likely to embrace it because, well, you're so depressed that there's no hope for any alternative, right? Or you have the simple option to choose for the voice for truth. If fear is an artificial sensation, then when you turn to it, you're turning to nothing. And you're investing your trust and your faith in artificiality, nothing of substance, nothing with a foundation. So, all you have to say is, well, this fear I'm experiencing is totally artificial, and I'm going to abandon it. And then leave it. Give your attention to the voice for truth. Why? Because there really is a voice for truth, and there really is something called truth. And when you invite it in, it reveals itself to you. And in revealing itself to you, reveals you to you, and reveals your Father to you, and reveals your holy relationship and your holy identity and your inseparability from all that is. You know what? As I've said before, those who seem to be in the thick of the dynamics that are going on today, because they are in the thick of the dynamics, find it difficult to witness for themselves. You're not in the thick of it. And so you can witness for them if you choose for the voice for truth. And if in choosing for it, you don't abandon it by taking a peek at the television or getting the latest update on your iPhone. Don't go to the voice for fear, because it will have only one effect. It will deprive you of knowing the truth. It will deprive you of your peace. If it deprives you of your peace, it deprives you of being an agent for change on behalf of your brother. And it absolutely keeps you from experiencing the instantaneous correction of these illusions. And therefore, it keeps it from everyone else as well. Oh, I can't change everybody else. No, you can't, not by force. But by love, you can. Don't try to change anyone else. Do what uncovers to you your divinity and your experience of everyone else's divinity. Do that religiously. It will have one very practical effect. Depression will not bother you. Fear will be nowhere near you. Peace will consume you. And that peace will bless everyone and everything. That's your function. That's your purpose. And that's your fulfillment. That's your job. Stick to it. Persist. Anything that discourages you from that is simply the voice for fear, and you seem to be experiencing it because you've turned to that teacher. Hey, the fear you're experiencing is an artificial sensation. Leave it behind. Abandon it. Abandon it. Be one of those who, we'll say, has come into the human experience for the purpose of lifting all of mankind out of it, and into the awakened state that it's his birthright, her birthright, your birthright to be experiencing. You have the support of the Holy Spirit, you have my support. All of creation supports you in your remembering who you are and blessing all of mankind and everything by the revelation that will occur to you about everyone and everything that reveals to you its and their divinity in an awesome experience of joy. Today's the day to do it. Today's the day it's possible. Today is the day you deserve it. And there's absolutely nothing actual inhibiting your having that experience today. I love you. I love you. I love you. You, 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 everyone. Take hold of this opportunity. Don't abandon it.